Daniel spoke last week on, it's really good actually. If you haven't heard it, you need to listen to it on the podcast. But it's about being grafted into the root and that actually, following a program he was watching, that he told us that how trees are grafted into a root, like from a root stock that's really good. And depending on what, it doesn't matter what sort of tree you graft into it, it produces good fruit because of the roots. And the roots, how the roots were really important. In a summary, is that okay? I know it was a lot longer than that. You have to hear the full version from the podcast. So I'm going to continue a little bit along that theme this morning. You said this evening. We're not going to be here that long. And I'm going to talk about seed and soil. And I'm going to start by reading a very well-known parable called the Parable of the Sower. You may have heard it. So we're going to have a little look at that. It's Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. I've lost my place now. Where am I? Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, interestingly, the Bible talks a lot about seed, and it comes up quite a few times. And the first time it gets talked about is, in fact, in Genesis 1, right at the very beginning. In fact, the first chapter of the Bible, it's mentioned 6 times. So God gives us almost the definition of what a seed is, because he created seeds. So if we have a quick look at what Genesis tells us, Genesis 1:11 says, let the land produce, I can't read properly, I think it's because I'm, slight detour, I've got some varifocals, and now I've put my contact lenses in, I'm not able to see things on the page, so bear with me if I read the wrong words. Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And that is mentioned a number of times in Genesis. And in that, I saw that God created, God gave us the definition of what a seed is. You see, a seed bears plants that have seeds in them. The seed itself has the ability to reproduce. The seed has everything it needs in it. And you could call it like the blueprint, and it keeps on going on and on and on. So probably the seeds that were originally planted in the, you know, when God spoke and the seeds were planted, there is reproducing of that to the seeds that we get today. There wasn't any break in it. It's just reproduced. So the seed itself has got a reproducing ability, and it's got the ability inside it for everything that one little seed contains to bring forth fruit. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God amazing? When I started thinking about how amazing a little seed is, I just thought, how God is, because God is amazing. So in the context of the parable that I've just read out, I'm going to relate the seed to being the words of God. The word of God. And Jesus explains that later in the chapter when he talks about it being the message of the kingdom, or in other translations it says the word of God. So in the New Testament, there are 2 Greek words. I'm going to give you a little bit of background here. You may know this. But there are 2 Greek words that are translated as word. Does anyone know what they are? No one's done. I knew you two would know. You're right. Rhema and logos. They are two different words, but in our translation, in English, unfortunately, they get translated both into the same word. So sometimes we have to look at what the Greek means to understand what the words mean in different contexts. So it's quite helpful. So the one word, logos, that means, it's often referred to as the written word, and rhema as the spoken word. But logos, as I looked into it and looked it up, it's got a little bit of a broader meaning as well. It actually implies the total message. That's it's quite a philosophical word. It means the total message. And so in the Bible, it uses the word several times, but it means different things. So I don't know if anyone's read John 1. And it goes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God. Now, I always used to get quite confused about that. I was thinking, what Word, with God, what does it all mean? And actually, it goes on later on to say the Word became flesh. And it is talking about Jesus being the total message. That's more the logos word. He is the total message, the total package. And He encompasses everything of God. That's what that word means. The word, in the beginning was the word, the total message, the logos word. And in the beginning was God, and the word was God. So it's almost implying that Jesus is the total expression of that message. Does that make sense? And what is that total message? And the total message it goes on to talk about is Jesus came to earth to represent the Father-Son relationship that existed from the very beginning. See, interestingly, Galatians 3:16 talks about Christ being the seed of Abraham. And I hadn't seen this before because it links the words, again, seed with word. Because he's the seed, but he's also the word. So that's where this seed and word interlink. So why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come to the earth? Anyone got any good answers? To reconcile? Good. Well, what do you think, Ethan? Spread the word of Jesus. Good. Okay. Yeah. He came to reconcile. He came to restore relationship. He came to reveal God as Father. Now, interestingly, in the Old Testament, up until this point, God is revealed as all sorts of different characters of God. I mean, even Ben referred to some of them this morning. God the deliverer, God the provider, God the restorer, God the healer. There's all these revelations of God, and they all come out in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's the first time we get God as Father revealed. And I believe that's because it needed Jesus to come to earth to reveal who Father was, because Father could only be revealed out of relationship, so we had to see the relationship. He had to show us that relationship, how he relates to his Father. Because without that, without Jesus being that expression of God on this earth, then we weren't able to actually see him as Father. Did you get that? We could see him as all those other things, and they're all good. But the revealing of God as Father is unique to Jesus coming and showing us and revealing the relationship that we can have with our Father. And that's what the Bible is about. We cannot separate, and I'm quite passionate about this, we cannot separate the Bible, this word of God, whatever you want to call it, from Jesus himself. We can, if we just read this, it's got some good stuff in it, there's some great principles for life, I'm not saying it isn't, but if we just read it without the relationship of Jesus, it's it can become more of a hindrance in some cases than a help, because if we devoid the relationship from it, it becomes a lot of rules. We wonder why. You know, it's all about revealing Jesus, the Word becoming flesh. So you can't have a relationship with a book. Well, you could, but not really. You might have your favorite book, but you can't really have a relationship with a book. You can have a relationship with a person. So through our relationships and our relationships with each other, as Jesus has shown us, and our relationship with the Father that he has shown us can happen, and that we can have a relationship like that with the Father, we can reveal the Father to those around us. Because Jesus said, and this always blows my mind, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So Jesus was saying that you will be able to reveal the Father in the people, to the people around you. You will do those things that I have done, revealing the Father. Isn't that cool? That we have the ability, that he has given us the ability to reveal the Father because of our relationship with him. And that's amazing. So that's a little bit of a detour, actually, about relationship. I got a bit excited about that. But I'll get back onto the Word bit. So I was trying to describe the Word being the total message as the Logos Word. The other word is for Word in Greek is Rhema, which is the spoken word. Now, not many people know this, but in a long time ago, myself and Kate and my brother put together an album, and we called it Rhema, the spoken word of God. And hopefully it's died and no one's got a copy of it, because it is extremely embarrassing to get it out again. But it was, you know, it's one of those things you have to do when you're sort of in your young years. Maybe. Recently, someone said to me, I was talking to someone, and they said to me, with God, nothing is impossible. They were reminding me, with God, nothing is impossible. And that sort of dwelt with me for a little bit, and I started looking at where it came from, and what the Bible says about that. And it comes from Luke 1, and it comes from the angel talking to Mary about Jesus and about having a baby, and that the angel was telling her what was going to come, that she was going to bear the Son of God. And at the end of that, it says, with God nothing is impossible. In the NIV it says, for no word from God will ever fail. So what does that mean? Well, looking into it a little bit further, the word nothing actually means no thing. And going back into the Bible and translating it a little bit more, that actual word translates, the real translation for that in the Bible is the Rhema word. So no Rhema word is impossible. And the word impossible, breaking that down, actually, if you go again, the meaning of what it meant was ability. So it really translates that every word that God speaks has the ability to fulfill itself. Again, coming back to the whole principle of seed. The seed shows us, you know, the Word of God. It's like the Word of God. It has the ability to produce itself. It's actually locked into the word, every word. And another place says, every word that goes forth from the word, from the mouth of God, will not return void. Every word from God has the ability to fulfill itself. Again, Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And that word... So the words that the angel was speaking to Mary, that was the spoken word of God in the moment. God, the angel was speaking the words of God. That was the Rhema spoken word of God. With God, nothing is impossible. When God speaks to us, His rhema word is pretty cool. So now, I'm saying that what I mean by the rhema word of God is the word of God that he speaks to us for now, for the present. Now, it may be he speaks to us from the Bible. It may be that he speaks to us through hearing him. And we'll unpack a little bit of that in a minute. But, I find that... God speaks to me personally in little things quite often all the time. That's the way he speaks to me, like little things. I might be walking along and something comes into my... And I'm going to try and unpack this and explain it and make it not some a big mystery for you. Because God can speak to us in different ways and we're all different. But for me, when I'm... it's usually when I've not got my head full of other things, which sometimes we have to empty our head of other things to allow God, to give God the space. But it's usually when I'm maybe walking or lying down or in a shower or something like that, God will, and don't imagine some of that, but God will speak to me and he would just speak by putting a thought in my mind. That's how he speaks to me. And I can choose to decide, is that me thinking that, or is that God speaking to me? Now, that's where I have to make a choice whether I'm agreeing with what he is, that thought that's coming into my mind. And sometimes, yes, it could be me. It could be me. And so I sometimes think, yeah, that's me thinking that. Other times, I know that it's in line with what God says. I know it's in line with his character, who he is. And I accept it as the word of God. And so it's that's how he often speaks to me. He shows me pictures as well sometimes. He even speaks to me through other things, like number plates, but I won't go there. You can ask me about that another time. But... You know, it says in Matthew 4, verse 4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So, I think that God speaking to us can be a daily, ongoing thing. It's a bit like meals. You need your meal every day. Yeah? And sometimes our meals are memorable, and sometimes they're not. I mean, I can't remember what I had for breakfast last week. And so it can be the same with the word of God. Some people get a bit tied up that, oh, I never remember what God said to me. Well, maybe it's for that moment. You don't have to remember what God said to you last week if it was for that moment. Does that make sense? It's like eating your breakfast. I don't remember what I had for breakfast last Wednesday. I don't, even when he said, well, what did God say to you last week? I don't remember, but he did say things, and I know they had a good impact on me. And so sometimes that's how God speaks. That's how God wants to speak to us. And that's okay. That's good. Other times, they can be more memorable. And now, I remember when I was six or seven years old, and I was swinging my little brother, who was 2 years older than me, on a gate to our house, and I happened to swing it a little bit too hard, and he went over the top of the gate and hit his teeth and mouth on the concrete, and I remember we had fish fingers for tea. I don't know why, but I have linked something in my head, my memory, to the food that I had that day. I remember that. I don't remember what I had last week, but I remember 40 years or something years ago that I had fish fingers for tea. So, sometimes it's a little bit like that with God's word. He can speak things to us in a particular situation when a particular thing happens and it becomes a milestone and a memory for us. And that's good too. You know, we all need those things that God has said to us. Maybe it's a difficult time, something that you've gone through, and there's been that word that's come in and that's really done something for you. It's important to remember those. If you need to write them down, or it might just be that you just remember them. But that's good. But you don't have to remember everything that God says to you because we're not made like that. It's for the now. It's for the daily now. Now, I've... not got much time, but I've got a little demo for you because I thought this might help you remember. Now, I wanted to find some little plastic cups, but I could only find shot glasses in our house. Only three. There's three of us. Oh, no, Nathan doesn't have that. No. Anyway, so this is an empty glass. Now, if I put a seed, you won't be able to see this, but packet of dill herbs. Now, if I put a seed in this glass, there we go, I'll put two in, never mind. If I put a seed in there, will it grow? Why? Exactly. No earth, no moisture, nothing. Okay. Well, so I had to use cling film to stop it all coming out of my bag. If I've got another glass here, and it's full of little rocks and stones. So if I put this seed in, will it grow? Well, it's got stuff in it. Why won't it grow? No water. Not the right stuff. Not good. Okay. So this is a little bit like you know where I'm going with this. Now this one has got earth in it. Soil. Now if I plant that in there, like that, will that grow? Yeah, okay. With water and a bit of light. Sure. But it's got the right environment for it to grow. And that's what's important. In fact, this earth comes from Daniel's garden. It's bound to grow then. So it's blessed earth. It's blessed earth. It comes from Daniel's garden because I happened to decide to turn a crate into a plant box for Kate, just as a little on-the-spur thing I did. And then I realized I had to actually fill it with something. So it's a bit like this empty. I made this, but it was no use without the soil in it. And I didn't really think that far ahead. So then I had to think, okay, where am I going to get the soil from? Thankfully, Daniel had some spare topsoil from digging his path. And I was able to, in a few carloads, transfer it across. But soil, it needs soil. And, you know, that's important. That's part of the parable that I said. If the seed, the word of God, if it falls onto stones, it's not going to bear. It's not really, it says in there, it's not going to have a root. And that goes back to what Daniel was saying yesterday. It's not going to, last week, it's not going to be grafted in. It's not going to have a chance to create the root in the soil, which is the thing it needs to give it life. It would just wither. So I would like to suggest that the soil in this context is almost like our souls. It's our heart, it's our souls. It's us. And we need to take care of what seeds grow in our lives. And, you know, seeds can, when we've got soil and we've got our soul, seeds can grow. And in the parable, it talks about some seeds falling into earth where there's weeds and thorns. And sometimes, you know, we can have those seeds that have gone into our lives that turn into weeds, and I've got a lot of weeds in my garden. The grass seems to be full of them. They spread. But they seem to reproduce themselves somehow. I don't know how. But I think that we sometimes, you know, we can have weeds in us. Does that make sense? That have come from seeds that haven't come from God. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean things like lies of the enemy is one way. So he can actually tell us, whisper things into us, or tell us things through situations that produce seeds of worry or fear or things like that. We can get seeds in from when others reject us and we feel like hurt by it. Seeds can sort of enter our lives that way. Maybe it's just the environment that we're in, the negative news that we hear, and you know, around us. There's lots of that. All those things can put seeds into us that are like those weeds, and they can actually choke sometimes the word of God that actually is the thing that gives us life, and actually will grow and be fruitful. So. And how do we deal with those weeds? Well, that's the good thing. That's the easy thing, because if we're in connection with God, He will help us to take those little weeds out, and He will show us those little weeds that He can pull out and put His finger on. I'm not going to get into that into any deep way, but it is in relationship and connection with God that those weeds can get seen as what they are, as weeds, and God will help us to change things in our lives. And maybe it's an experience that He wants to change it, but it's not a rooting through and saying, "Oh, I'm going to pull out that, I'm going to pull out that, I'm going to pull out that," and then you're left with nothing. God's gentle gardener. He gardens and cares for us, and He will help us to pull out those weeds. But I don't want to focus so much on that at the moment. I want to focus on the fact that how we receive God's word, and that's the important thing. So if we go back to the story of Mary in Luke 1 and 38, Mary's response to the word that the angel brought was, "I am the Lord's servant," she said, "may your word to me be fulfilled." And I think the important thing I want to get across here is that there's the word of God, there's the seeds, and there's the things that He can speak to us, but there's also the receiving of it. And it's important for us to, we are the people, we have to receive it if we want it to have any effect in our lives. So, and Mary's response was just agreeing with the word. "May your word to me be fulfilled." That was her response. "I'm going to agree with you, God, that it's going to be fulfilled." And sometimes that's the thing. God speaks to us and we need to, you know, and our response can be, "Well, no, that's never going to happen. You know, how can that ever happen? No, God, that's wrong. You've got that wrong." Or, "I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it," type of response. Or whatever the response may be. Or maybe it's you haven't seen it and so you've got disappointed, you know, and so you're now not really agreeing with it. But the response to that actually creates the environment for that seed to grow, is to agree with God. And, you know, that is actually exercising our faith. That's all it is. It says, you know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word and hearing by the word of God. So if we hear the word of God and we respond to it by accepting it and agreeing with it, that is faith in action. It's as simple as that. You know, we've talked about being on a journey together, and together with friends. Now, we are on a journey of God transforming, I like to think of it as God transforming the soil in our lives to healthy soil. And that means that, yes, we're on a journey to hear from God, and hearing God is so important. You know, we've got to hear God. And I'm not going to dilute that in any shape or form. That hearing God is one of the most important tools or things you can do in your life. To actually hear God. Now, that's not, I don't want to put any condemnation on anyone or any guilt if you're finding it hard to hear God, because that's why we're here. We've got to learn together to hear God. And it's hard sometimes. It really is hard. I've had times in my life where it's really hard to hear God, and other times where it seems easy. So let's not, you know, let's be real about that. It's sometimes something we struggle with, and but that's not to mean we shouldn't persevere, because, and if you haven't heard from God and you don't feel that you've heard from God, it may be that you have heard from God and you need someone to actually show you, actually, that was God. Sometimes that's the easiest thing. But that's what we need each other for. So let's not be ashamed of that in any way. But if it's something we would like to do, and we would like to be able to hear from God, then ask people who you know around you who do hear from God to help you. Because hearing from God is like receiving that seed, you know. And if we want to produce fruit in our lives, if we want our what comes out of our lives to be fruitful and to be good, then, and for those seeds to go on and plant in others as well and reproduce like seeds, then we need to be able to hear the word of God to us, the rhema word of God. And so we need to hear His word, and we also need to receive it and choose how we receive it. And that's like the soil, being able to agree with him. So I have Jesus, who is the Word, become flesh, living in me. And in that relationship, I get to commune with him, to talk with him, and receive his rhema word, his spoken word, his personal words to me. And we all have that opportunity. I don't know about you, but I want my life to have good soil in it. So his words get to grow and produce life and fruit for others. And that's my aim, that's my goal. And I want to find out, okay, God, if there's things in my soil, as it were, that have impacted me and hurt me, and little seeds that have gone in at different times, lies of the enemy or things that are growing weeds instead of your word, Lord, show me what they are so that I can actually just take those out, and with him take those out, and receive, have more room for receiving your words. So we haven't got any more time than that, so I'm going to stop there. But hopefully that's been helpful to you. So just to remember the pots, you need something for the word to bear fruit, and you need good soil. So we're going to take communion now, and I'll hand over to Kate for that. But as we take communion, I would ask that if we sort of treat this as a little bit of response to God, and if you're the person here who hasn't heard from God, and you're saying, God, I need you to speak to me, then ask him to speak to you. And what I'd say is, don't put down in that moment anything that comes to you, whether it's a feeling, whether it's a thought, whether it's something that somebody else says to you or gives to you. Just open up that opportunity for God to speak directly to you, okay, and what he wants to say. It might be as simple as, I love you. That's all that he needs to tell you. It might be something that I'm your father. It might be, I don't know what it is. It's whatever the word is for you today. But ask him to give you that. And for those who do hear from God, as you're taking the bread and wine, I'd like you to ask God to give you a word for someone else. Okay? That's your challenge. So ask God to say, Lord, I want to receive your word, but give me something that I can share with someone else. And then whoever that is that God puts on your heart, go and give that word to someone else. Okay? This is us doing it together. And then I want us to just be conscious of receiving that word that God says. Okay? I won't get any more on that. Okay, over to you, Kate. Thank you.
Well, Father, we just want to thank you that actually you are the person that is going to build that rich soil, good soil, where those seeds can grow. And Father, we just thank you even today that you'll be weeding out some of those things that we don't need in our lives and planting that really good seed and planting those words from you. And Father, I just pray that we'll be receiving those this morning. And Father, as we take communion, that we'll just realize that actually you're there, that you're for us, that you want to speak to us, that you have a word for us, that you have a word for others. And Father, may we be listening and responding to that. And we just thank you that you're here. In Jesus' name, amen.